Dayton, Ohio, 5th Street, yesterday, 9 dead, 26 wounded. El Paso, Texas, Walmart, yesterday, 20 dead, 26 wounded. Pomfret, Maryland, senior living home, Friday, 3 dead, 1 wounded. South Haven, Mississippi, Walmart, Friday, 2 dead, 2 wounded. Is my clicker not working? Gilroy, California, Garlic Festival, Sunday, 4 dead, 18 wounded. These are the shootings in the last week in public spaces where the gunman was shooting indiscriminately at people he did not know. Over the course of the rest of the week, see if I can get it back. In homes and neighborhoods in that same 8-day period, there were 9 other shootings where the shooter did know who they were shooting, with 9 more dead and 29 more wounded. In 8 days, in our country, in just the ones that classify as mass shootings, there are 47 people dead and 102 people wounded. Death is inevitable. We will all die. That's how it works. But I doubt that we often sit around and think about when we're going to die, or how we're going to die, or where we're going to die. Unless, of course, we are confronted with death in such a way that we are reminded. More and more, we are reminded. In just our backyard last Sunday, we were reminded that a 6-year-old and a 13-year-old and a 25-year-old are not guaranteed another day. It is terrifying. What I see as I look around the world today is fear. Madeline, will you hit the slide? Everywhere I look, I see fear. I read what these shooters have written, and what jumps off the page at me is fear. Fear is a powerful motivator, but it is a terrible, terrible decision-making tool. Fear is irrational. Fear is not based on facts or data. Fear is totally self-centered, and it is dangerous. Because fear leads us to being so wrapped up in our own selves and protecting ourselves and to trying to create security for ourselves that we don't care what happens to other people. Think about it. Think about the last time you said or did something that was really nasty and unkind. I bet if you really are honest with yourself, you will recognize that what you did came from a place of fear. I know that that is always true for me. Fear that I will lose control. Fear that things won't go the way I want them to. Fear that I will lose something I love, or that I won't be able to get something I want. Fear that someone will have power over me. Fear that someone will harm me. Fear is a powerful motivator, but it is a terrible, terrible decision-making tool. Fear leads us to behavior that harms other people. Look around at the nasty things happening in our world today. We are so afraid that immigrants are going to drain our resources that we're willing to take children away from their parents and put them in detention camps. We are so afraid that people of color and people with a socioeconomic background that's different from us might have equal access to education, that we are willing to bribe people to get our children into colleges. We are so afraid of caring for the poorest among us for fear that our billionaires won't be able to buy another house or another jet or another private island, that we leave people sleeping in tents on the street and hungry at school. We are so afraid that giving health care to everyone will leave us with a little less for ourselves, that people die because they can't afford insulin. Fear is a powerful motivator, but it is a terrible decision-making tool. Fear is self-centered. It is irrational and it is dangerous. Fear causes us to be so caught up in protecting ourselves that we don't care what happens to other people. And right in those moments, we begin to tear down the kingdom of God. For you see, now let me flip it. Fear is the opposite of faith. We like to think that doubt is the opposite of faith, but that's not true. Fear is the opposite of faith. Because fear is a never-ending cycle. Because fear builds on itself. Once we get caught in our fear, we are in a washing machine. We are lost in our own brain, in our own desire to protect ourselves. So much so that we don't care what happens to anyone else. Fear is the opposite of faith. All of our readings today remind us that death is inevitable, that we will all die eventually. But it is our gospel story that hits on this theme of fear in the most poignant way. In our story today, two young men come to Jesus and they're arguing about the family inheritance. And they come and ask Jesus to settle their disagreement. And when I read this, I can just hear the annoyance in Jesus' voice. Like, really? Haven't I already answered this question for you people 100 times? And here you are again asking me about money. I think I've been clear. Sell everything you own, give it to the poor, come follow me. 3 easy steps. Anyone can do it. But here you are, once again, asking me to solve an argument about your money. So I'll tell you again. So Jesus admonishes these young men about their greed and reminds them that life is not about how much stuff you can collect. And then he tells them a story. He tells them about a rich man whose crops are so abundant, he doesn't have room to put it all. So he rents a storage unit. So he tears down his barns and he builds bigger barns so that he has more places to put things. Madam, you flip it. And then he says, now I can relax. Now I can eat, drink, and be merry. But unbeknownst to him, he has come to the end of his life. This is his last day. There is not another day guaranteed for this man. And Jesus calls him a fool. You fool, God says. Is he a fool because he wants to store his abundance so that he has food security? No. Is he a fool because he wants to eat, drink, and be merry and relax? No. He's a fool because he's tricked himself into thinking that he's done it all himself and that now he is safe. Listen to what he says. What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. I will do this. I will pull my barns down and I will store all my grains and goods, and then I will say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry. Me, 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 me. It's all about me. I've done it. Jesus calls the man a fool because he has no understanding that everything he has is a gift from God. Jesus calls the man a fool because the man thinks that he did it, that he made the crops grow. He is a fool because he does not understand that the abundance in his life is a blessing from God. Jesus calls the man a fool because the fool fails to acknowledge the world around him. This man now presumably has more grain than he could ever eat, but never once does he recognize that he might be called to share that, that there might be hungry people sitting just outside the edges of his field that he could feed. And Jesus calls the man a fool because now he thinks he's safe. Now he thinks he has enough to secure his life for good, forgetting that none of us are ever promised another day. The rich man is a fool. This is why it's harder for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle, because the rich man is afraid. Because the fear that the rich man carries in his heart keeps him from acknowledging the goodness that God has given him and the blessings he has to share with the rest of the world. And here's the hard part, you guys. We're the rich man. We're the rich man. We live in one of the richest nations in the world. We live in the richest counties in the country. We are the rich man. We are the fool that Jesus looks at and says, be careful of your greed. Be careful how your fear will lead you to harm other people and to tear down the kingdom of God. Fear is a powerful motivator, but it is a terrible decision-making tool. It is irrational and it is self-centered and it is dangerous. But the good news of the gospel today is that our hope is in God. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in God's tremendous love for us. Our hope is in the grace that God pours into our heart every day. Our hope is in the abundant blessings that surround us, that we have been given for no good reason other than because God loves us. Our hope is in God. It is not in how much money we can keep for ourselves. It is not how much grain is in our barn, or how much crap is in our storage locker, or how many guns we can amass to ourselves, or how much money is in our bank account. Our hope is in God. And when we stand secure in our faith that God loves us and God blesses us, that fear that grips us will melt away. And we will find ourselves so full of peace and so full of grace that all we know how to do is give it away. Our hope is in the God who loves us, who extends grace to us, who feeds us, who clothes us, and who blesses us so that we can be a blessing to the world. And when we begin to do that, when we start giving it away, then we start to build the kingdom of God in our midst. Amen.